the deeper meaning is the community. We still have this mentality of let's see what happens instead of let's go to the moon with it. Sometimes I feel like CEOs will make up goals that just came out of their heads. Like, we must hit this or I'll be disappointed. But it's not an actual projection. It's just like, I feel like I want this to be a $100 million company. It's like, we just want to grow this thing to empower the community a lot more and build the community for dads to feel like they have a spot where they can come give help and advice and link up with other dad gang dads and hang out. And the hats are awesome. We want to just keep innovating and making great products for dads. But at the same time, if the community aspect of it falls off, then I just don't think we're like that successful in it.
How did Spotlight Oral Care get 6 million views and over $30,000 in earned media value on TikTok? How did Plant People drive a 50% decrease in cost per add to cart and over a 30% increase in ROAS? To go big like these brands, you gotta think small and work with mini social micro influencers to create authentic UGC for your brand. Tired of hunting down and DMing creators on social, negotiating back and forth, only to have their one-off post flop and not impact your sales? Leave it to mini social to handle all the nitty-gritty of booking the right creators for your brand, delivering top quality content you can use across your ads and organic social media. Ready to try them out for yourself? Get 15% off your first project when you start in Q2. To claim your D2C listener discount, just go to dtc.minisocial.com. Bart, welcome to the D2C podcast, man. Talk to me about your hero's journey with Dad Gang.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just kind of cut to, you know, I've been in D2C for a good 12 years now, 12, 13, since like 2008, even longer than that. I don't know. But before D2C was even like a word we throw around, I was making t-shirts, throwing events, concerts, blogging when blogging was hot, and kind of just driving traffic to websites through other people's news. And then post college, I was just so interested in, I went into college trying to be a dentist and just didn't work out because I ran into chemistry and I was like, what the hell is this? So I bounced out of that quickly, but I just like organically found this interest in the internet and attention and how to get attention to websites and kind of social media as it was buzzing, and YouTube was like really becoming a thing, and all these social media platforms were just starting to like become a, you know, everybody has one type of platform with Instagram, Facebook, and coming out of the MySpace era. So I did that in college, and then out of college worked for some streetwear brands, doing similar stuff, blogging, social media, content, that kind of stuff. And then from there worked for a company called Strideline for 6 years, where I was their first employee. Jake and Riley were the two co-founders, and still a great company to this day, but they were just the two of them and they needed somebody to do this social media stuff, as they called it in the beginning. So I was like, I think I could do that. And so the company grew from just the three of us to well over like 50 employees. And by the time I left there, I was the VP of marketing, director of marketing, kind of self-appointed roles, if I'm being honest. Like, what do you want to be? Like, let's do director of marketing. And so I built up to that and handled everything, you know, the standard structure of a D2C brand, oversaw all of it, email, SMS, paid social, all that kind of stuff. From Strideline, I kind of wanted to work for more brands or take what I've learned there and do it for more companies. So I moved on to the agency life and I did that for about 2 years, got truly burnt out. I was year and a half, 2 years almost, I was the head of growth for over 30 brands. And it was a, like, I learned a lot. I don't ever like take any L's without lessons. So I really, you know, even the burnout, I can look back on it and be like, man, I know so much more than I did a year and a half to 2 years ago. And I went back into the world of being a director of marketing for both a skincare brand and then another health and wellness company. And while I was doing those skincare brands and health and wellness, shortly before that, I became a dad while I was at the agency. And I was always in a text thread with EJ and Grant, who are the other co-founders of Dad Gang. And we're always talking about our days, about how tough life can be, being a new dad, being a dad with 9-year-olds, and, you know, just always throwing around the term dad gang, and realizing that anything we saw on social media when it comes to dad's fatherhood was kind of just this like funny comedy stuff. Dad bod, mowing the lawn, New Balances, all this like corny dad stuff you see. And we're like, that's funny. And we still agree. It's funny. I'm glad we have that humor aspect of it. But nobody's really building a community around like the struggles and the reality of being a father. And nobody's honing in on that. And so we made 100 hats that said Dad Gang on them, started them out of my tiny garage that couldn't even fit a car at the time. So we ordered 100 hats, friends and family just ordered them like less than 36 hours, I think it was. And then from there, we're like, okay, that was cool, but it was all friends and family. Let's see if we can do this again. So we went from 100 hats to 300 hats. That was our next order. And that sold out in like a week. And it was still a lot of friends and family in the Shopify order. So we're like, okay, well, the hats are sold out. Let's do it again. And it was kind of this like mentality of like, let's try this and see what happens, rather than like, we're going to build a company called Dad Gang and it's going to be huge and massive to the moon, all the stuff that you hear on, you know, just like entrepreneurial tweets. And so it's like kept going that way. And from there, we kept ordering hats and selling out. And then we started seeing a few more like names in the Shopify orders that we didn't recognize. And I just started boosting our best organic posts on Instagram. And it was really just one post. It was our first post that introduced the brand. A picture of a hat being held literally just said, hey, this is Dad Gang, and we're a brand that's here to celebrate fatherhood for everything that it is. We made a really high quality hat. Like, that's the other thing we pride ourselves on, is quality, and just like, it's a really, really nice hat, great stitching, good frame, easy to wash, all this stuff. And we're here to build a community and, you know, join in and grab a hat. It's only $35. It's not like a super expensive hat by any means. If you look at other like snapback hats out there, we're actually pretty fairly priced. And so I just boosted that post. Media buyers cringe at this approach because they're like, okay, hit the boost button, put a couple dollars behind it. But I boosted it at profile visits instead of conversions, which is another cringeworthy thing, because it's like, you're not going for conversions, bro. What are you doing? What are you doing? You don't want sales. And but I was really trying to build a community right out the gate. And even if you don't purchase, if you follow us, because the CTA on that is just follow. So if you don't purchase and you follow us, but you do see like reposts of other people wearing it, I think you'll eventually want to become part of the community. And if you don't, if you just want to watch, that's awesome too. But that's kind of how we started. And so we went build an audience first and then run ads like through Ads Manager and the actual, you know, proper way to do it. So we just kept doing that. We had that trucker hat be our only product for a really long time. And I remember EJ Gray and I were like always talking about, let's do this, let's do that. People in our ear being like, make t-shirts, make hoodies. And we're always just kind of like, no, let's sell a million hats before we do anything else. And that was kind of a joke at the time. We haven't sold a million hats to date, but it's like, let's focus on selling one thing really well before we bring in the distractions of a t-shirt, a hoodie, all this other stuff. And so we just kept selling that hat over and over again. Then we made a tan one. And then we made a few other like very simple, like an olive green one, and stuck to this kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, but like of today color palette. People like wearing neutrals, browns, greens, whites, creams, tans, those kind of colors. We kept releasing them, and then we jumped into running ads, and then we jumped into email and SMS, and like, okay, let's actually build a funnel around this. And through that approach, I mean, we're not even 2 years in, and we're actually like any day now, we're going to be at 100,000 orders. So since you and I last spoke, I think a few things changed, but like EJ keeps texting us like, only this amount away from 100,000 orders. But I think we've sold like 110,000 hats to date, and still a very, very simple approach to everything. It's like, the three of us don't want to build a company that like requires unnecessary stress and strategy and optimizations. We want to build a community and something like super meaningful where I don't have to test a million landing pages to get somebody to buy a really like meaningful hat that represents a community. I think you need that when you don't have like a perfect product market fit, but I think we found the gap of like dads are finally like, okay, finally a community that I can relate to, not just for the funny stuff, and a hat I can wear outside of Father's Day. I can wear it daily. I can wear it on the weekends when I'm really like have time to just do all the kid stuff. So yeah, that's where we're at now. Got some cool collabs happening, and that is where we are in like a year and some change.
And I feel like I've been following your D2C Twitter like probably right from the beginning. So it's amazing to see how it's grown. It's so neat that the product is the community in this case, right? There's just like such a clear through line to, you know, the community that you're building, and you're representing that you're part of the community by buying the product. And I think the neat thing, I love what you said. Like I look at all of the sitcom dads that I grew up with, and they're all schlubby. They're all way less attractive than their wives. They're always the butt of the jokes, almost always in a lot of cases. And so, and it's funny, I think of like my dad was a proud father. Like he was a great father, but I don't know that he would have worn a dad gang hat outside of like novelty or my birthday or something like that, right? But I feel like fatherhood has kind of evolved to the point where we are a lot more proud about our the roles that we take and how much we step up. And then you combine that with like the streetwear sensibility that you built into that, even just like the simple design of like the script font across here in a line, it looks like an old school like Chicago Bears hat or something, right? Like it just fits.
I was born 88, so I was born in Poland and I lived there until I was 7, and so I moved here and 95, and I was just enamored with like American 90s streetwear and like sports culture. Like you remember the starter jackets that like coaches would wear on sidelines, and like Griffey's and Gary Payton, like the gloves, like all those kind of like, I love 90s nostalgia. Luckily, it's also just kind of in right now at the moment. Like A-frame snapbacks weren't always a thing, but they're in right now, and they've always been around, but the like height of how often like fashion recycles itself. We just also had good timing. I hate to say like everything is marketing, because sometimes luck and timing play a huge role in what you're building.
What's the split now between organic and paid in terms of your growth?
Yeah, we still run at like around 5x MER. Or a blended return on how much we put in. It's tough for me to call like exactly, but we are a lot more heavy on the organic efforts than the paid side, especially if you want to loop in like email and SMS outside of just posting on organic social. Our new customer acquisition is kind of like, let's let people know about this brand that are dads that maybe haven't heard of it, but all the reposts and tags and all the things we get from dads that already are customers really does drive new customers without us having to spend on that. So I don't know. I want to say it's like 60-40 organic to paid.
And then when it comes to repeat purchases, are people buying their one badge of honor, their one dad gang hat, or are people kind of coming back? And because I know you've got like a dozen, I know you've sent me 3, which I'm really excited about, but are people coming back and buying them again and again with the new styles?
Yeah, we have. So I have and I recommend this for anybody with a brand. We have a private Facebook group that we show a little behind the scenes. We tell people about restocks before everybody else. We let them know kind of like what's coming. But in there, people drop their collections, and there's dads that have every single hat we've ever put out. There's multiple dads with 20 plus hats, and then like so many with like 3 or 3 to 5. Because, and I know this is, you know, my product, I'm gonna have some bias in how I say things, but like I would wear this hat if it didn't say Dad Gang on it and it had like my favorite football team or something on it. Like it really just is a very nice hat, and you look good in it. Like it lasts a while, and it doesn't, like, it's so easy to wash. You just take like a wet cloth and some soap and dab it if there's a stain on it. Like for me, I have a big head, like 7 3/4. So my whole life, it's been tough to find like good fitting hats. And I love these. So I think dads love that it's part of the community, but they're also like, this is my favorite hat. I've seen comment earlier today on an ad that was like, I thought this was all, you know, advertising jargon, and I was gonna be fooled. And this guy wrote a super long paragraph about how much he loves the quality of his hat. So I think that's why we find so many collectors out of our customers.
And that's so cool, because I think there's a lot of other dad brands out there who's are just getting by on the dad connection, right? Like they've got a number one dad hat or a number, you know what I mean? Like there's probably a lot that are more novelty focused as opposed to really focusing on the quality of the product.
Yeah. And we have hats that like when we last spoke, I had a hat on that said on dad duty, but we have a very simple one that just has a D on it and just stands for dad, obviously. But we've had guys buy those that aren't dads, but they really love the fit and shape of the hat. And it's like, you know, there's not a father checker on the website or anything. And yeah, we really want to, like, we find that people that are familiar with the brand will come back and buy like a simple D hat because maybe they don't feel like screaming dad gang that day, but they still want that nice hat. So yeah, we really want to make a bit more like, we'll always make dad gang hats, but releasing some stuff that's a bit more like simple and everyday wear, something we definitely want to do more of.
I like the on dad duty one. The other, I always think of dad reflexes. I've seen so many great examples of dads with like incredible dad reflexes. I feel like that could be a hat.
Yeah, I was doing that the other, I had some friends over the other day and they're like, we had some wine and our kids were running around and I like, spot the disaster before it happens. So I would just like move my buddy's wine glass before my kid could even get within the vicinity. It was like
your spidey sense was tingling basically. Yeah, there.
You just see it before it happens, hopefully.
You mentioned you started noticing names on your purchase rolls that weren't, you know, friends and family, but you've had some celebrities buy the hat too. Because talk a little bit about the celebrity partnerships that you're working on.
Yeah. So the most recent one, I mean, I just got back from Arizona on Monday. We did our second collaboration with Mookie Betts, who's currently they just released the rankings for best MLB players in the league, and he's number two. Number one in our opinion. But so Mookie is an interesting one because he was kind of approached or saw dad gang from all angles. And he even tells the story, like his wife bought him a hat, and then Grant also sent some hats to a stylist that he works with, and he was seeing them out in public. And we sent him some like after the fact of his wife buying him one. So it was like so organic to the point where it's like, we have to work together. This isn't like, let's approach a celebrity and hope they work with us. It was just so organic to the point where it's like, I love this. I love what you guys stand for. The hats are great. I wear them all the time. And he is wearing them all the time without needing to at all. He's in Korea right now doing like an international thing. And every single clip and photo we see is him wearing this athletic white that we have with a dad gang seal on it. So that one's the coolest because it's just like so organic. And I used to work in the world of like contact bigger names and try to get them to work with you and cold DM and all these other things where it was like, that was so organic. And we've had Luka Doncic wear it recently. 2 days ago, Dak Prescott. Another one was Russell Wilson. Like a lot of good NFL names. And then baseball names with some like Drew Holiday on the Celtics. So, well, some of these names, like we know, like, oh, I had a buddy and I sent him a hat and he knows that guy and that's how they got it. But like Russell Wilson, for instance, one of the biggest names in the NFL.
And he's a dad. He's like known as his team's dad in some ways, right? I just saw a TikTok on that this morning.
Yeah. And I think Sierra's pregnant right now. So they're going to have another kid. And it was just kind of like, we have no idea. Like you have to just understand that they bought the hat and they're wearing it. And that's like them being a customer is so much cooler than like working on it.
It's interesting that the first one came through a stylist, which is interesting. Have you thought, I know, I guess you're not talking, doing a lot of outreach, but finding other stylists to the stars could be an interesting play as well, potentially.
Yeah, for sure. And stylists are, I've, from my point of view, I feel like stylists aren't that like, well known. They work behind the scenes because know, most celebrities don't want you to know like who specifically dresses them. But yeah, Grant lives in LA, so he's in like the stylist capital of the world. And so I'm sure there's like really good ones out there, but yeah, that's definitely like an avenue we should be exploring for sure.
Have you become a better dad since starting Dad Gang Co?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think being a dad, you're always holding this and this kind of like the deeper side of becoming a father, but you're always holding this thought in your head of, am I being the best dad I can be? Or sometimes it's like, am I being a good dad? Like, but I think so because of the strength of the community and just having friends that I'm doing this with Grant and EJ, like we don't just talk hat biz all day. We send each other pictures of our kids and how this day went and all that. Like the true core of how the brand started just continues. We just talk about things that we can support each other with and all that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, it makes me want to be a better dad even more so because of like how strong this movement has become.
So you mentioned Meta. Is Meta the bulk of the paid mix at this point? Or what does your paid mix look like at this point?
Yeah, it's the bulk of it. We spend a little bit on TikTok. Honestly, not enough. And we haven't like put enough focus on it. But Instagram and Facebook has, you know, in-feed ads. And then I've actually been doing a good amount on X lately. And that has shown to like grow the community a bit more on X or Twitter, however you want to call it. But that's like $100 a day. It's not like a major spend, but it is helping build the community on Twitter to share more dad stories and that kind of stuff. But yeah, mainly Meta for the most part.
Are you finding on Twitter on X that the CPMs are a lot lower? I remember it was about a month ago or so. I saw some stats on like them going crazy on trying to get more performance marketers on the platform because I think there's a lot more brand or there were a lot of more brand advertisers and now there's probably a lot more inventory on the platform. Were you finding like getting people, you know, into your community was cheaper on that platform?
Yeah, I've noticed that in the past few weeks, I'll say, because when X rolled out like a newer advertising dashboard at first, I like could not get an ad approved and it was a picture of a hat. Once again, I'm super complicated over here and I just would check it every day and it would not get approved. And then now, and I don't know what the reason was for that. Like the ads manager was just super wonky. But now that when I spin up an ad, it goes pretty quickly. And yeah, we get a lot more eyeballs on the brand for what seems like less. But I'm not spending a significant enough amount there yet to like really hone in on any metrics. But I do like the overall growth of the profile has been bigger. And then I've just noticed an uptick of like Twitter purchases from Shopify.
What's the TAM here? What's the TAM for dads in the US?
So last time I looked up, there was 80 million dads in the US. And new ones daily. So like we see that our like I have a WooCommerce post-purchase survey that asks if this is a gift or this is for yourself. And for a while there, especially during holidays and like now Father's Day coming up, it was like a dead even split because husbands will like tag their wives in the ads, say,
oh, nice.
get this for me. And then we'll jump into those comments and say, yeah, come on. Like we'll encourage them to purchase it. But yeah, I don't know the actual TAM, but 80 million dads, a new one every day. Like
pretty
it's
good.
Kind of like a dentist, you know, people are always going to have teeth.
That's right. When are you going to start your dad's podcast? I feel like it's a ripe opportunity for content marketing to have a dads on dads podcast.
So we're rolling out this new hat with Mookie this Friday. And that is like our second sit down with him and his buddies. So we're doing it with Mookie, Cam, and One, who are their best friends, and they're all dads, and they started their own company called One Marketing. And so the first one we did with them is like the sit down podcast style, and so is the second one. But we eventually want to be able to like sit down with other dads. They don't have to be, you know, some of the best athletes on earth, but just sit down with other dads and talk to them about their fatherhood experience. So I think it's in the cards, but we haven't like sat down and mapped it out.
How do you envision that this company going in the next like couple of years? Like what, I think you've got, you're just kind of growing it. You're doing all the right things. How big do you want it to get? Where do you see this going over the next couple of years?
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, we like still have this mentality of let's see what happens instead of let's go to the moon with it. And because I've working at the agency and seeing the stress of other CEOs of like stuff, they is like self-inflicted stress. So like sometimes I feel like, and it's not for everybody, but CEOs will make up goals that just came out of their heads and they're like, we must hit this or I'll be disappointed. But it's not an actual projection. It's just like, I feel like I want this to be $100 million company. It's like, okay, that's a cool feeling, but that's going to be really hard and you're going to stress over it. So I wish I had a better answer for you, but we just want to grow this thing to empower the community a lot more and build the community for dads to feel like they have a spot where they're, let's say, going through like potty training disasters and they can come to Dad Gang's private group and be like, what did you guys do? Please help me. And get flooded with comments and help and advice and link up with other Dad Gang dads, like actually out in public and hang out and have meetups and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's where I think true meaning falls for us is like, can the hats are awesome and I think they're great and I love selling them and seeing them on people, but like the deeper meaning is the community. And so we want to just keep innovating and making great products for dads, but at the same time, like if the community aspect of it falls off, then I just don't think we're like that successful in it.
When I was a new dad, I was thinking I wanted an app that was like a bat signal or something that I could just like in the evening, once the kid was asleep and usually my partner was asleep as well, I just wanted to be able to send like a bat signal up to be like, hey, other dads, you know, like, you know, just a passive way to be like, hey, let's hang out or let's do something, because it can be isolating at times, right? Like when you're in the grind of being a dad, it can be isolating for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like amongst like friend groups too, sometimes there might be like an underlying pride for asking for help because you're all trying to be the best parents you can be. And so maybe asking for help seems like, oh, are they doing okay? You know how people think sometimes, like, yeah, are they doing okay over there? Or like that kind of mentality. So like, I think it's like people should ask for help without any kind of like guilt or embarrassment. And especially with Dad Gang, like we use this, speaking of sleep, like my wife and I use Taking Care of Babies as a sleep course. And this lady named Kara, she was a nurse for like 20 years and then specialized in sleep patterns and scheduling. And like, this lady's a lifesaver. Our kids both like sleep great. I've passed it on to friends that used it and they love it. But then when I tell some other friends about it and they maybe are past the sleep training phase, they're like, oh my goodness, like I wish we had that. There's so many examples of that that you could just like pass off to your friends. But they didn't know, like, get this baby monitor, try this in the crib, try a sleep sack, you know, try setting your temperature to 68 or a sound machine. Like, no, people are like timid to reach out and just ask, like, what are you doing? What's working for you? And I kind of want to remove that stigma and like go talk to Dad Gang, post anonymously if you want for advice and see what happens. But like, just having that one place where we can all help each other, I think is much greater than how many hats we can sell, you know?
It sounds like you're always, like when it comes to restocks, like your hats are probably always limited edition to some extent, but have you experimented ever with drops on like truly limited edition things, or is that not part of the arsenal yet?
We have. So right now, like how it stands, and I'm super transparent about this, we order the most of our best sellers, like our staples. So we have a black and white horsepower that is probably like our best seller of all time now, or the Dad Gang black and white trucker. Both of those are like one and two. They kind of compete against each other. And then like three hats behind that sell really well. So the volume wise, we get the most of those. And then everything else is a drop or a launch. Like right now we have a golf hat coming out that's going to have a tea holder on the side, which is something we haven't done before. The damn tea holder took so long to develop, believe it or not. So that's going to be limited to 1,000 hats, which for us, like at this point, will go in like 2 days or sometimes 24 hours if it's hyped properly and people want it. And then like this Mookie Betts hat, where it is also limited stock. So like the first one that we release is not coming back at all ever. And so we do have those customers that are like, please, please bring it back. I missed the first one. And so that's why, like, outside of, you know, conversions and stuff, I encourage everybody to have like back in stock journeys turned on, email journeys turned on for like when a hat back is back in stock. Join the group so you know immediately when something drops. And so, yeah, we do that pretty often outside of those bestsellers that we keep a lot of.
And then when you like walk me through the anatomy of what you mean by hyped properly, how do you properly hype your audience for one of these releases?
That's a good question. I would say making sure it's a hat they want. So we communicate with our private group all the time around like, do you guys even want this? You know, like I don't like to, Grant, EJ, and I don't like to sit here and think we understand everybody's consumerism. So why don't we go in the community and be like, hey guys, what do you want to see from us? We were thinking about making a navy hat. Do you even want that? Or should we scrap it? So actually asking them what they want and then making it if there's enough demand for it. And then just like, I think time of the year and what they're looking for, you know, like Father's Day, or, you know, people are starting to like really golf again because spring's coming up and golf tournaments are starting back up and all these other things. So making sure you're timely with it. And then content is like the biggest pillar of it all, is like, are we shooting these hats well? Are we describing them well enough? Are we putting out reels and videos that are like actually captivating? And then like, I'm the iPhone nerd that like, oh, like my wife makes fun of me, but I'm sitting there in the kitchen or outside, like shooting in cinematic mode, making sure the hat has like a nice little pan over it and all these things. So like making reels that are actually like, you know, like satisfying food videos, but for hats.
I wanted to ask too about the product. I have made maybe about a dozen hats in my day, but I've never, except for the one that I've sent you, actually, I've sent you an Ebbets Field flannel PC.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
That was like a custom job I was really excited about. Otherwise, I've just sort of bought blanks from Ewing Pong or some of these other sort of traditional blank hat brands.
Yeah.
You have so many different, so much variation in your product. Are you ordering off the line from a provider, or are you at the point now where you have a full custom relationship with someone?
Yeah, we have our own manufacturing relationship at this point.
Very cool. And are you designing most of the hats, like in concert with your community and stuff, or is it all three founders? What are you actually doing to design the hats?
It's a good, like at first we were a black and white trucker hat. That was just no brainer. Like doesn't take any design mind behind that, you know, the actual like size of how it appears and the frame and all that, sure. But as we got further down the road, like our horsepower hat, for instance, like I've always been super into, like I told you, the 90s. I was always into like 1990s Ferrari, like F1 culture. So I love that era of race gear. So they'd have these boxy, like Marlboro, the cigarette company, like that kind of style of design. And so like, let's make a hat around that. And that's our horsepower line, kind of inspired by cars, and dads love cars. And so EJ is really like the design brain of everything at Dad Gang. And Grant and I will toss him a bunch of ideas and then he makes it come to life. But it's really like speaking to that group. They'll be like, hey, you haven't made a hat that just says girl dad on it. And so then we'll say like, do you guys actually want this? And we'll go and make it and design it, ask them what they think of it, and then make a bulk order of it and actually release it. But sometimes it's a mix of Grant, EJ, and I like concepting and thinking of things, and then EJ actually puts a tech pack together of what it'll look like. And then it's a mix of the community, and I'd love for the community just to tell us what they want, because it's a lot easier than trying to rack our brains on like what's the next, you know, hot hat to release.
This is a manifestation platform, this podcast. So if you could manifest one influencer besides the world's greatest playing baseball player, do you have people in mind who you'd love to see wear the hat? I could imagine, like, I can see a PGA Tour golfer or a live tour golfer wearing the hat. It could be huge. Who do you have in mind as your ideal sort of like influencers or partners in that way?
Yeah, I mean, Lil Wayne has just been somebody I've always wanted to work with. And Grant and EJ will have different people.
Yeah.
Like Grant's might be Mookie Betts, and it happened, you know, like Grant's been in baseball since he was in diapers. Like he loves everything about the MLB and he coaches himself, has his own training program. So like, you know, Mookie Betts is definitely one that he's probably would have manifested. But for me, it's Lil Wayne or LeBron. Like those are the two guys I've always wanted to work with in some capacity. I did work with, when I was at Strideline, I worked on like some Young Money socks with Lil Wayne, with Lil Wayne's team, like Mac Main and Tez, but it wasn't directly a Lil Wayne thing. But those two guys would be awesome in my book. I know EJ has different ones. He leans more on like the extreme sports, graffiti taste of things.
Eminem would be huge too, just because he's had all those issues with his parentage and he raps about how bad his mom was, right? I'm sure he takes pride as a father, I bet, to not make some of the mistakes that his parents made. So he might be a good one too.
Yeah. I've just always been like, I get in heated. I'm in a text thread with all we talk is sports, and I get in like heated debates over the whole MJ LeBron debate and all these things. And like, but I've always, I think I have a, somewhere behind me. Yeah. I have a giant, LeBron Funko Pop.
Yeah.
Huge LeBron canvas over there. Like, I think he would be awesome to work with. He's an amazing father, deals with his son being at USC now, his other son being another phenom in basketball. Like, they're a great family, and he's a great example of like an awesome dad. So he'd be cool to work with. And then, Lil Wayne would be awesome. I'm sure he could just make a dad gang song for us. It's just like,
you might
a lot
need
of
an XL to fit under his dreads though. I don't know if a regular size hat's going to fit under all those dreads, but
yeah, I've looked into this. I've seen like videos and pictures of him wearing snapbacks, but the snap's undone in the back.
Ah, that's the key.
Nice. And so, yeah, we'd have to figure that out. We make beanies too, but I think the hat has to happen.
It's such a cool opportunity. Like you have such an addressable market that like, I'm excited for when, you know, you guys continue to scale. And like, I think TV could be such like, you're going to speak to like 50% of the population watching TV who are dads or, like, especially if you do it right, you can get more than that. If you get a more male centric show, I feel like it's the kind of thing that could really achieve even a higher level of like cultural significance, which is exciting.
Yeah. We tried a Hulu ad at one point, but I don't know. We got to work with them on it because they kept like kind of refusing the ad for like ad guideline stuff, but there was nothing bad in it. I think it's because we had I figured this out. We had a kid and a dad in a car. The concept of the ad was like jump into the imagination of your kids with them when they're playing on the playground and aliens are chasing them, like just go with them and pretend. Yeah. So this kid was like driving a hot rod in a leather jacket and his dad was with him in the passenger seat. And then the ad panned to them actually just being in a box. And so it was like this kind of jump into the imagination ad. But I think the reason Hulu might've refused it was because it showed a kid driving, which is like encouraging kids driving cars. I don't know. It wasn't the intent of the ad at all.
So you mentioned Father's Day as it's got to be like the Super Bowl for this. Yeah. A little bit. What are you doing? Like, what does your ramp up to Father's Day look like? And is it something you're thinking about and already planning out now?
We're inventory planning for sure to make sure there's enough. Cause we're still at the point where we think we have enough hats and then we don't. So we'll always sell through the inventory that we think we have enough of. Even right before this call, EJ hit me up and was like, hey, if we keep going like this, we're going to need a reorder for Father's Day. So we're like trying to get a lot better at inventory planning around these special occasions like holidays and Father's Days. Even Valentine's Day was a big one for us because wives and girlfriends were getting hats for their guys. So a lot of that, and then just fueling the content engine. So making sure that we have an ad that's like specific to Father's Day, that's like one big hero video ad, then chopping that up into smaller bits that are 10 seconds, and then making like a bunch of just different static ads around Father's Day. We still keep it simple. Like the only thing dad wants for Father's Day will be like the copy and then a picture of our hat. But just making sure that those ads are made and ready. And then right now, just like slowly ramping spend to acquire new customers for those moments. And then like leading up to it, releasing like a, like we're talking about drops, having a few more drops of like, this Father's Day, this hat will be available, won't come back type of deal. So just trying to like prime the audience. I kind of remove my acquisition mind from this because I genuinely don't like to see people that missed out on Father's Day gifts and they're like pissed because that guy won't have a hat this Father's Day. And so I'm like just trying to scream that these hats are what you need for Father's Day before it gets here so that nobody misses out. They join our groups, they join our text messages, so that they're just in the know, because it really does suck to be like, we get messages that are, you know, like, I really wanted this for Father's Day, it didn't happen. And then we got to tell them like, you know, pay attention here and there and sign up. So
you've got Tukes now, you have some stickers, and you have a chugger, a 32-ounce tumbler, which I sold out, I see. Any plans for, I know you want to dominate the hats to a full million. Any, do you think before you get to a million, there'll be any other products you roll out?
Yeah, for sure. We've done hoodies and we've done t-shirts. Summer, we're like working on a tank top, but that's where the real like limited stuff also will happen. We are a hat company at the moment, and I think that's going to be our core product. But in between, we do want to be able to give dads some other stuff like this, like the chugger or like a coffee mug, because we only want to release like really, really good products. So the chugger is made by Mir, which is a drinkware company on its own. But nice. This thing like keeps your coffee hot for like half an hour after you made it, and the lid can be open and all the stuff.
So I'm dads like, that's need a great.
Because when you're getting ready in the morning and you make your coffee, there's no way you actually drink it. And then once things calm down, then you can actually take a sip and it's still hot. So that's kind of like, we are really catering to the dad. And then like, we want to make a tank top because we made one for our Arizona trip. And then too many people were like, wait a minute, I want that. And so we'll make a limited run of those and t-shirts eventually. But like, I don't know, I don't want to like water down the brand to the point where it's like, everything has Dad Gang on it now. I just want to keep it special to certain products.
Nice. This has been fantastic. I've got a list of rapid fire questions here I'm testing out with guests. Let's go. The 10 questions, the 10 D2C questions starting now. What's your caffeine routine?
One in the morning and maybe one in the afternoon.
Is this a drip coffee? Is this a espresso?
Drip for now. Drip just for switched now. Okay. To drip. Yeah.
Which app do you spend the most time on?
Instagram.
What's the last piece of content you consumed that changed the way you think about things? It could be a book, could be a podcast.
It's called the 5 a.m. routine or the 5 a.m. plan. It's just, I've always, because of kids' routine and like trying to get a workout in, I've always kind of by default woken up at 5 a.m. And then I saw this book and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe what I'm doing has some other benefits I should learn about outside of just getting more of the day. So, yeah, it's called the 5 a.m. something. I should know the title. But yeah, it's just changed my way on being like, okay, maybe this 5 a.m. thing is what I should stick to.
What time are you going to bed at to get up at 5 a.m.?
I try for 9:30.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but it doesn't always work.
What's your favorite movie?
Two of them. It's hard to choose and they're silly, but Rush Hour or Heat.
Classic. Heat. I gotta rewatch Heat. I feel like Rush Hour is good. I also love the collaboration with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson in Shanghai Noon.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a classic.
Heat. Well. I just rewatched it on the treadmill, which is one of the weirdest places to watch Heat. But
yeah,
it was at the gym, and I was just like, I forgot how. I mean, it's a violent movie, but yeah. I forgot how much they actually show, especially in the 90s. It's like, this is so gruesome, but. I just love like bank robbery, like The Town and other like bank robbery movies are, that's my jam.
I'll just a little note here. My daughter is 10 now and she's pretty mature, I'd say. And we've started watching more PG-13 movies, which opens up a whole category of really good movies. We just watched The Prestige, which is one of my favorite all time movies. She saw Christian Bale at one point do something he shouldn't have been able to do, like appear somewhere he shouldn't have been able to be. And she's like, what is he, a duplicate? She's actually like guessing the twists of these movies already. So
dang, that's
very
awesome.
Excited about that. Are you in office or remote?
Remote.
Remote, fully.
Yeah.
Forever.
I'm just at my house right now. Yep.
That's what we do.
I don't know if forever. I mean, life can change, but.
What tech tool in your stack are you most enamored with right now?
Does Canva count?
Yeah, Canva counts. I love Canva.
Okay. I love like Attentive and Klaviyo and Ads Manager, but I'm like in Canva the most. I'll have a coffee and jump into it and like look at their templates because they're always posting new ones and be like, can I make something for the brand off that? And sometimes I'll feel inspired and make like 20 things. And then some days I'll be like, not today. But I'm in there so much. It's ridiculous.
Nice. What's the most unusual job you've ever had?
I was a warehouse sweeper for like in the summers, like between college and high school. And it was like strictly a sweeper. There was nothing else I was doing. So yeah, that was it.
I had one job as a warehouse sweeper, but it ended up being at least a 30% sleeper job because I found a little nook that in the closet I could pull up and just nap between sweeps.
You know, the one benefit of this job was that this warehouse shipped for Tim's Cascade Chips. And so they would have like boxes that were damaged and they'd have to toss them away. So I would always go home with like 10 mini bags of jalapeno chips.
That's amazing. And then what would be your last meal? Like you're in prison, you have to choose a last meal. What would your last meal be?
It'd be Polish. I have two. They're both Polish meals because my mom is the best cook, but either Polish goulash, and that's chicken. It's a chicken goulash, or gołąbki in Polish, but it's cabbage rolls. Unbelievable. Any friend I've like given them to for my mom, they're fully obsessed.
Beet borscht or cabbage borscht?
Beet.
Beet all day.
100%.
Fuck off with your cabbage borscht. It's got to be red. It's got to make me like question my life choices the next day when I go to the bathroom or I don't want it.
Yeah. You got to pee, right?
Well, this is great. I'm going to get I'm going to join the dad gang soon. This podcast happened actually because I did a podcast with my buddy Van Oaks and he's wearing the dad gang hat. And that reminded me to check back in with you. It just must That's be so cool to see people in this. And I was saying like, as far as like people spending time on D2C Twitter, I feel like it's a great audience who will be customers of your product as well. Cause I feel like marketers are in that really tight Venn diagram of like really proud fathers, happy to right. love streetwear. So it must be, you probably have a lot of D2C people wearing your stuff as well.
Yeah. It's really cool to see like guys that I may not like hang out with cause they live somewhere else, but like we chat because of our careers. And then like, especially the guys that are like just becoming dads too.
Like, yeah. You got to get, I just saw Shaq posting his baby crib or whatever. You got to send Shaq some gear.
Yeah. Him and I like literally became friends through that because
that's awesome.
I had this brand, he's becoming a dad and like, he loves the hats. I love Breeze, the drink company he has. And it's like, yeah. Because of that connection, we kind of are buddies now. But yeah, I just love seeing all these guys like switch from only tweeting about cost caps and complaining about Meta to like, oh my gosh, my life is different. I have a kid. I have other things to worry about. And like,
yeah,
being able to once again, like bring a community of marketing dads that can help each other out.
Amazing. Thanks for coming on the D2C podcast, Bart.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
What's your handle on Twitter for people that want to follow your journey?
It's the chef. The SZ is SH in Polish. So just THESZEF.
Nice. Well, follow Bart, follow his journey. If you're a dad, you got to get one of these hats. If you're a mom, you got to get one of these hats for your husband because it's the cool thing. Everyone wants to be in the dad gang now.
Yeah. And follow dad gang. I'm just one person. Dad gang's much better follow, I would say.
Nice. Thanks, man. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can do that right now at directtoconsumer.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.